just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Today, we are going to talk about everyone's favorite subject, the one we've been avoiding, flying through space,
outer space,
coming into the Disney parks. It's one of the most popular attractions in Disney history. And of course, I'm talking about Space Mountain.
That's my favorite ride ever.
I was trying to build it up so it sounded like we were talking about Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, I see.
But we ain't.
In
you
a
already
land
saw it.
Far, not, far away.
Right. It's you saw the title on the podcast already, but
so it's a
little bit of a moot
point.
It's
only a surprise for me.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah, it's the first of the month. Welcome to July, everybody. First podcast of the month, which means it's a patch cast.
Yeah, we're talking about patches.
Yeah. But first, we're going to talk about the inspiration for the patch.
Now, this one made me incredibly excited. The concept of Space Mountain. Anything that has to do with Space Mountain makes me happy.
Right.
And so this patch specifically, where it was so, you know, the iconic outline of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just perfect. Because
the first time we went, you had no idea what it was.
No idea.
Which is
magical.
The best way to take somebody on a ride, honestly. And because we've said this before, you went as a kid, but you only remember Dumbo.
Yeah, there's no way my mom took me on Space Mountain when I was a kid.
Oh, you don't think so?
Oh, there's no way.
Oh, all right. Well, then you wouldn't have known anyway.
All right.
For me and my family, Space Mountain was kind of the end of the day activity.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, Disneyland, we would go in, take an immediate left, and work our way around outside of the park clockwise.
So it would be on the complete opposite side of the park for you.
Yeah, I think we did it around, probably before or slightly before we did Star Tours. So it would be the last two things we were doing that day, basically.
Interesting.
So to me, it feels like the end of a day when I ride it at Disney. But for you, I knew that it was going to be a must ride.
Yeah.
Because you're a fan of fun lights and
completely
that sort
right.
of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think we went pretty early in the day when we first went.
Probably the first or near the first rides, maybe?
Yeah, I think I made you go
no,
on.
No, you know what? Snow White was our first ride ever, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We really went for it.
Yeah. I took you a running start.
We had to go through the castle and go through Fantasyland.
Right.
And then after that.
I think I took you kind of on my family trip. We went to Jungle Cruise, Pirates, Haunted Mansion. We did that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's possible.
And then I think we had fast passes for Space Mountain, so we went there.
Because that's the only way to ride that ride, right? Is with a fast pass, especially at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way on earth I would want to stand outside on that platform in the sun.
It's so hot.
It's so brutal.
It's so hot. And it's funny because I remember as a kid, it wasn't set up the same way. There was there was an escalator that took you up to the second floor when I was a kid.
Oh, fancy.
And they've since removed all that, and now you stand and bake in the sun while you wait in line.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
Where was the queue at? Was it not on the upper level at all?
It was on the upper level, but where... I want to say it's where the Michael Jackson, like right next to where the Michael Jackson area is.
Captain EO, yeah.
There was an escalator that took you up to the second level.
Okay.
And then the line started... Up there.
Okay.
So it was just set up a little differently.
All right.
Of course, I was very young, so I can't remember exactly. Well,
man, why can't they have the escalator there now and take that closed arcade and turn that into an indoor queue? You know?
Well, like, yeah. I mean, I think escalators aren't very kid-friendly, though.
But it's okay, because California currently has a pretty good fast pass system.
Right.
And so it's usually pretty okay to get one for that ride.
Yeah. And so we got you on the ride pretty quickly. You knew, of course, that it was a roller coaster because of the way you get into the seats. You know, you get in, you sit down, you pull down the lap bar, get ready to go. And then you go up the lift hill, which, especially at Disney World, is full of, like, iconic spacey-sounding music as you're climbing the hill, you know? And it's all lights and colors, which I knew that you would respond to. And then, of course, you go through the coaster, which is just a building full of spinning stars and loud music.
Completely right. Yes.
And then you hit that end tunnel and they take your picture. And I was like, I have to see this picture of Steve because I know he's going to have had a great time on this ride. And it was a pure joy picture.
Life-changing.
You were so happy.
Oh, it was so great. Yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic. And definitely the California version, the way that the soundtrack is so well choreographed and the speakers are right behind your head and, you know, you're side by side. There's a lot about that version that makes it so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the one at Magic Kingdom. Where's that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Get a little lost.
I got lost for a second. But yeah, no, it almost so much so that it almost feels like two completely separate rides, really. Like, they don't feel... The one at Magic Kingdom almost feels more like the original Yeti ride. What's it called?
Matterhorn.
Yeah, it almost feels a lot more like Matterhorn to me than Space Mountain, but...
For good reason. They were planning on putting a Matterhorn in Florida, and their Fantasyland couldn't support it land-wise. And so they started kind of bouncing around other ideas. And they had thought about doing a space-themed coaster back when Disney was alive. He liked the Matterhorn and wanted to do kind of a space theme on the same variation, you know? And so they kind of brought that one up and dusted it off to put it in Tomorrowland in Florida first.
Oh, interesting.
So it is, it's very Matterhorn.
Now, what you mean you don't got space in Fantasyland? They have nothing but space there. They have 43 square miles.
Well, but before they expanded Fantasyland even, it was very much like Disneyland. It's in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
And you don't want a giant mountain blocking sight lines. You don't need it to be taller than the castle. You know, there's lots of issues that come with putting a mountain in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
Space Mountain, it was first done in Florida, which is a little obvious when you ride it.
Right.
They do have two tracks, which oddly enough, I think we've only ever been on one of them.
I'm convinced that the other track is only for fast passes, and the fast passes are sold out to people staying on property months in advance.
Oh,
I'm pretty
convinced. We've had fast passes for Space Mountain in Florida.
We have.
And
yeah,
we've never gone that direction.
And so we end up on this side.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just your face.
It might be. Because it always feels like that's the crowded side, too.
Yeah, right?
Like, they just go, oh, yeah, you go to the crowded side.
Yeah, I blame your face.
Okay, well.
But the interesting thing about the one in Florida is that even though it does have the two tracks, which is fun, they're set up like the Matterhorn bobsleds used to be, especially with just the one seats.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is still set up that way.
Yeah.
But it's just the one row of seats for everyone to sit in. There are no speakers in the car. And so you're basically just kind of flying through nothingness and hearing random noises as you go through this area.
Yeah.
It's
not really...
It's underwhelming,
yes.
I have to say. When you come from Disneyland's, which builds such an amazing experience, both visually, audio, and, you know, feeling, you know, the G's and things like that, it's incredible. And then to go to the Florida version, and while the coaster is still fun, it's not a bad coaster, it's just, it's not the next level experience that you get from Disneyland.
Completely right. Yeah, and it's fun that you see like the people mover kind of going through there, and you do see a few other things, like you see the spacemen walking out, you know. Yeah. So that's kind of fun about it, but it's not nearly as cool as the one at Disneyland is.
Right, which is sad. And but I thought it was interesting that they've done updates to it and not fixed that problem specifically. Why would you replace the entire cars for the ride and not go, well, let's go ahead and put the cars with audio in them,
at least audio
on the track?
Because it's my guess that you couldn't really change out the cars too easily because they're designed for that track and whatnot, so they can't really be the side-by-side versions.
No, I don't think.
But you could update the cars, I would imagine, unless it means that I don't know, they would have to maybe redo a bunch of stuff. But there is a lot of rumor that because they are doing the new Tron coaster right next to it, that after that gets opened, they're going to use that as kind of a way to maybe take down Space Mountain for a number of years while they revamp it.
Even I hate to say that Florida needs it, I think Florida needs it.
Yeah.
I feel like they got a new exit. Yeah, well.
Wish I need disco balls or something.
I feel like the poor people in Florida aren't getting the full Space Mountain experience and don't understand why people on the West Coast are so obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Because legitimately, it's a completely different experience.
You don't even see stars in that one, really.
Yeah, it's really dark.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a minute since we rode the California one, and while I was preparing to put the patch up on the website and all that kind of stuff, I was finding videos of Space Mountain, and as soon as they say, you're clear for takeoff, and you go around the corner and the music starts, you're like, so good.
And I was even more excited when they did the hyperspace overlay, which I think they might have brought back.
I think it's there now.
The opening of Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
And then they've had another version that was called Deep Space.
Well, that's just where they turn off all the lights.
Yeah.
And it's just black.
That's easy enough to do, right?
And they also do Ghost Galaxy, which you hate.
Oh, right. Ghost Galaxy. I totally forgot how much I hate that ride.
It goes to show how much atmosphere affects Steve. Uh-huh. Because it's the same ride, but they change the audio. Right. And then they have unusual visuals throughout the ride.
It's awful.
Where you're being chased by a sentient galaxy, basically, that's shaped kind of like a skeleton.
Yeah, because that sounds magical. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
It's a Halloween overlay. It's supposed to be scary. But Steve is just not having it. He does not want it in his mountain.
So did you know that over the 40 years that it's been in operation, over 250 million guests have ridden the ride at Disneyland alone?
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine? I mean, all those people in that.
I feel like I've been there one day where all of those people were riding it
with their flashes on.
So long. Oh, jeez.
Because we've had that experience before, right? Well,
why are you taking pictures on Space Mountain?
I was pissed. I almost got us kicked out of the park. I'm so upset.
I know. I told you not to swear.
Right.
I don't understand. What are you trying to take a picture of? There's no theming in there that can be enhanced by you using a flash.
Quite the opposite.
You know? So it's like, that's so dumb.
Yeah. And it was really interesting because you and I had talked about many times before, if the lights were to ever come on that ride, would I want to close my eyes to because I didn't want to see it and I don't want to ruin the illusion? Yeah. Or do I open my eyes up so that I even know more about the ride?
Sure.
And then we had the experience of that we got evacuated off the ride and they turned on all the lights and the folks had to come push us.
Right.
And then we had to just ride down the ride.
Yeah.
Down. And I have to tell you, not only did I open my eyes, but I turned on my camera and I videoed.
You're one of them.
When it comes to an evacuation, I was losing my mind, y'all. I was so excited. Well, we rode it like 5 times that day, I think.
What I found the most interesting about riding it with the lights on is how clean it is. Right. Like, a lot of times, you even go through some of the rides that aren't dark, and you can see that they don't get cleaned super often because that takes time, right? So you'll ride through Small World and see that some of them dolls are a little dusty.
Mm-hmm.
But they turn on the lights in Space Mountain, and I'm like, this is a dark ride that they can't go around and clean all the time, so surely it's going to be coated with dust.
Right.
And they turn on the lights. I'm like, no, it's spotless in
it
here.
It was so
true. How is it so clean? It's cleaner in here than my house.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
It was pretty awesome. We'll have to see if we can find the footage and put it up somewhere. But
and
just,
then they literally pushed us.
Like they did. They that come was up the and, evacuation, folks.
They come up and push you off the edge, so
and
you go
you just
flying.
Kind of coast on through the ride that way.
It was really cool. Pretty and then fun. We got to ride again.
Then
so.
They, yeah, it was so great. Now, just recently in February, the creator, Bill Watson, he's 87, mm-hmm. and somebody asked him to come back and ride again, when he hasn't been on it for over 13 years.
Is it and safe for someone of that age?
He loved it so much that they went him go through twice,
aww.
Once regularly, and then they turned on the lights and they let him go through again
oh,
with
fun.
The lights on. So apparently, yes. Yes, he got to go through twice. But he's also, he was... he also helped do things like Big Thunder Mountain, and he also worked on a number of other attractions, but the big one that I was excited about was like the opening of Epcot. He helped work on a lot of that,
which
I thought was
nice.
Pretty fun.
It feels very on brand for him to work on Epcot and Space Mountain, because they seem very similar
right?
in general.
Yeah.
That's really fun, though, to think of somebody seeing their legacy still being ravenously enjoyed by people.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I might have almost started crying if I saw him get on the ride in front of us and they explained what was happening. I'm sure the cheers were so loud in that queue.
I feel like they probably would have like cleared it out and he would have had like a private show.
I think
like,
he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to...
Him and his family or whatever.
Yeah,
him and his friends.
Not to mention, I hate to keep saying it, but I think they should have a doctor on hand just in case.
Just
like, did they check his heart before he rode?
He looked great. Like, good for him. For 87, he was still rocking it. But so that alone makes this one of my favorite patches that we are putting out.
Well, it was obviously a very unusual patch because I wanted it to be instantly recognizable without being too cliche.
Yeah.
And the great thing about Space Mountain is that it's super retro. Like, all the theming feels very 80s idea of the future. And the one in Florida kind of has almost like a 50s like idea to it when you go past and they have like the lady with her head. This is on the People Mover. You go past and there's like a lady with her head in a hairdressing thing, and it looks like something straight out of a 50s B movie. It's the weirdest thing.
You can. It may not be there much longer.
Well, there you go. I think I put a picture of it up on our Instagram.
Oh, fun.
But so I wanted, we thought it would be fun to kind of go through and do a rescue team for each of the mountains in Disney
parks.
And since Space Mountain is your favorite,
yeah,
we decided to start out with Space Mountain.
Yay! Makes me so happy.
So I struggled a bit with making it because it's more of an obscure idea versus a reference to a character or a you know, something along those lines. It's a ride concept that I had to make into a patch, which is unusual. And so I had.
But that's what we do.
That's what we do. We deliver. So I had a great time designing, you know, like a 50s style rocket shooting up out of Space Mountain, and then the invading UFOs shooting their lasers, sweeping in behind. I feel like
so
it's a
cool.
really dynamic patch.
Yeah.
And you know, once again, instantly recognizable when you see the Space Mountain building on the bottom. Anyone that's a fan can automatically go, yeah, that's a Space Mountain patch.
Completely true. It's so recognizable that like even just the silhouette of the building in one single color is all you really need to even identify it.
Right, exactly. And it's a fun idea to kind of do a series of these so that people, you know, it's kind of almost like a collect'em kind of thing where each time a new mountain rescue team patch comes out, you're like, oh great, I add another one to my collection of mountain rescue teams, right?
Because Disney sure do like their mountains.
They got the mountains. They're all over.
It's true.
But I think it's super fun and it's huge. Like, we say this a lot, but this patch came out a lot bigger than I was planning.
Yeah, we plan on them being about a 4x4, and we've even designed like the packaging and the the packets that they go in to be mm-hmm. that side and size. And this one you have to turn sideways.
Right.
Because it's actually a 4x5.
It's just, it's like so much across. Just bursting out of the patch.
And it's so colorful.
And it's super colorful.
Which I love.
Yeah. Well, it has to be colorful for Space Mountain, right? You know, I couldn't do just a black and white patch. That wouldn't work.
Could you imagine if it was just like a black round square, with like just white dots?
My view from Space Mountain.
That would have been fun.
But if you're part of our patch club, it's already on its way to you, if not having already arrived by this point.
Yeah.
It's one of the perks of being part of our patch club. And if you're not part, and you just really love Space Mountain, you can always find our patches on our website, DisneyPatch.com.
Yeah, it's the quickest way to find them that way. That's
and then,
for sure.
You know, once there, you can buy that one, or you can get on our monthly mailing that comes out every month. You get the patch sent directly to you before it's even up on the website.
Yeah.
And you're the first one. How fun is that?
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
There's a 30% discount, too.
Oh, what?
I don't know if you knew that.
You're discounting the patches? No, yeah. It's even, yeah, you're... Patches are even cheaper when you order them on a monthly basis like that.
Right.
So good.
And if you have a favorite ride that we should know about, let us know.
Yeah, I honestly love hearing from people giving me ideas for patches, because sometimes I get stuck in my own train of thought. So it's fun to get, you know, ideas from other people. And sometimes there are things that I haven't even thought of yet. Completely and I will true. Gladly steal your ideas. But... it's like I always say, keep your hands and arms inside the rocket at all times.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.